the Criterion Quest, a continuing podcast series looking at important classics and contemporary films. My name is Chris, and I'm joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Tom.
Hello.
And we just finished watching the Robert Bresson film, Les Dames de Bois de Boulogne. Now, what is it? It's, I need to look it up to actually be able to say it. Les Dames de Bois de Boulogne.
Yeah, I think...
That works.
Yeah, I think that's it.
But before we get into this week's film, kind of wanted to bring up our last episode, which was the Kubrick Odyssey, where we kind of sat down and watched 2001 and then kind of Kubricked it up in general. We wanted to kind of say thank you for everyone for engaging and really seeming to like that episode. It was nice. It's kind of fun to break format a little bit.
Yeah, it makes me want to do more. I mean, not too many more, because you want to be consistent with our own podcast.
Yes.
But it was really enjoyable.
Yeah. And I kind of wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to one guy, Dominic Koch, who sent us an email. He really responded to Lee's kind of point on the use of music in Clockwork Orange, and sent us through a dissertation that he actually wrote on that same subject. It was really kind of nice to read and get that, and hear that you liked her comments and engaged.
So. She liked that. She very much liked that you liked it.
Yeah. Lee used to come on the podcast quite a bit back in the day, but then I think she got a little bit self-conscious, so it's good to
hear. She did a great job.
She did an amazing job, and it was great to hear that, you know, people engaged, and yeah, so thank you, Dominic, for sending that through, and we love hearing from listeners, so please send us some more emails and stuff. We love it. But I guess it's on to Les Dames de Boulogne now. Yeah.
The ladies of...
Bois de Boulogne.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
Not a musical.
No, I don't know where we both got the idea that it might be a musical.
Well, I can tell you that I got the idea from you.
Yeah.
Because you said it was a musical.
Yeah, and I'm saying I don't know where we got the idea because we're in this together. No, I honestly have no idea where I got that. I must have misread something, and yeah. If this was a musical, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah, I was going in expecting a musical, and we got a thriller. I mean, something that looked like a thriller that was actually a romantic drama, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is probably a good chance to jump in and do plot synopsis. Do you want to do this one? Do you want me to handle this one? Or?
Well, you mentioned that it's pretty much Pretty Woman.
To some degree, like, I'd read the, like, one-sentence synopsis on IMDb that was, like, a scorned lover manipulates her, you know, ex-boyfriend to marry fall in love with a prostitute. I'm like, oh, yeah, fall in love with a prostitute, that'll be, like, lighthearted, whimsical, romantic fun. Nope.
No.
Yeah.
So it's Agnes, the dancer.
Yes.
Is taken... No, wait, we should restart that. What's the guy's name?
Jean.
Jean breaks up with Helen.
Yep.
Helen's annoyed.
Yep.
So she takes Agnes, who is a dancer, into under her wing and tries to attempt to make it out that Jean will go out with her and she will be exposed as a tramp, upsetting Jean.
Yep.
Because she needs to get back at him.
Yep.
That's the plot.
That's essentially the plot, yeah. And, like, on the outside, like, you could kind of frame this as a romantic comedy of sorts, or just like a straight romantic film, and have it be this interesting kind of, gee shucks kind of caper, but it doesn't do that. And I don't know if that's what you were expecting. Like, when I realized, it's not a musical... I fucked up by thinking that. At least it's just going to be this kind of light romantic film then, which is fine. But did you kind of have that preconceived notion based on that?
Pretty Woman? Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Pretty Woman. I go, all right, so it's a romantic comedy drama.
Yeah.
But there's no comedy. And I guess there's very little romance. I think the really weird thing is Helen is played off as the villain that she is, and she is a villain.
Mm.
But John is this supposedly a guy that everyone's swooning after. But I didn't... I don't see how... I mean, I guess he has like a poetic way with words, and that's a charming thing for a man to have, I suppose.
Yes, and he's wealthy and, you know, he's well off and things, and he's high society, so I guess that's what's important back then for
but
that.
But I don't understand his motivations as a character. There's not a lot of strength to his character.
No, not at all. There's only, I think, one character in this entire film that actually has interesting character points and strengths, and that would be Agnes. But speaking on John for the time being, he is a character, like, the film kind of starts interestingly, where Helen is starting to think that John might be, you know, cooling on her as a lover and things, and so she puts forth this ruse, saying that that's what she's thinking to see if it's true, and it backfires in the extent that he's just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. And, my out.
Yeah, which is kind of an interesting way to start your film and, like, you set up your protagonist as this guy who doesn't necessarily want to address things on his own, but when they are presented to him, he's a straight shooter. Where I'm like, that's an interesting kind of guy to set up, but that never really comes up again, I don't think, for John as a character. He just is stalker man.
Well, he falls in love with Agnes, but
after meeting her for an hour, it's that, like, very unrequited, like, you know, he wants her because he can't have her, and she looks pretty and she's young. Which is, like, we should say, like, this film is based on a novella from the 1700s, so, where it's, like, romancing a woman is, it's like, I see her, she's pretty, you'll be my wife now. Whereas we're now watching it in 2018, just being like, that's not how that works.
I guess that premise would have worked when the film came out as well, this one.
Yeah, I suppose. Mid-40s even? That's kind of pushing it even, I think.
But by today's standards, it's really shallow.
Yeah, incredibly shallow. And the idea that because Agnes is a cabaret dancer, she's somehow a lesser person, and that's something you're like, shame! Shame!
We've come a long way, man, because we're going into this film going, like, everyone is just a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Except for Agnes, who's like, I know something's up here. Like, what's all this about? But we'll get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's I think, obviously, both, like, if you can tell, neither of us really dug this movie all that much. But it's, I think, being able to put all of those kind of modern issues with the story aside, it could have coasted through on that kind of flimsy premise of, you know, just wanting the girl he can't have and yada yada and the whole trickery of that. But the way the film is shot and presented is so different from what you have come to expect from a romance film that it's jarring and it just doesn't quite work.
Okay, let's get into the way they present the film then, because I think it works. All of the shots seem to have a really kind of sinister approach, rather than a kind of fluffy romantic vibe to them. That works with Helen.
Yes,
in all the scenes with Helen, it's perfect.
Yeah,
but she's just one part of you know, three parts of a story.
Mm.
So whenever she is being conniving bitch or manipulative, whatever, great, great film.
You want your hard lighting, you want your kind of overdone makeup, her dressed all in black, the kind of sinister piano music coming in, like, that works great, because she is essentially the villain of the piece, like you're saying.
Mm.
But when you have a scene between Agnes and her mother talking about her wanting to be a dancer, it's shot like a thriller. And it's odd.
Yeah, I don't think the romance was playing out the way that it should because of that.
Mm.
So any time that I'm seeing the film trying to present a budding romance between John and Agnes, it's not really working for me.
No.
At the very least, And I think it's not just because it's presented as a thriller. I think it's also because John is like a nothing character.
Yeah. But sticking on the visual aspects of the film for a second, it's the problem that I have with that is like you're presenting a dramatic romance story essentially. I mean, you could argue that it's a thriller because there's the conniving undertones of Helen, but whatever. It's shot really well and effectively as a thriller. Like, I think the cinematography, for the most part, is really interesting, and it's really well done in this film. Except it just doesn't fit the tone of the film, which is just makes it even worse. Like, if it was shot like a shitty thriller, I'd be like, oh yeah, it's just a badly shot film, it doesn't matter. But because it's so effectively shot in that tone and style, it just doesn't mesh with the narrative structure of the film.
There's a lot of the Kirk shots, you know, where there's the eyes are being purposefully lit, you know?
Yeah.
There's just like a band of light that's covering the faces.
Yeah, like as soon as you said that, I knew exactly, like Kirk shot, yeah. So original Star Trek, Captain Kirk, it's always like everything in shadow, except there's like this bright beam of light across Kirk's eyes.
And that works in, like they do that with a lot of like the sensual scenes in the original Star Trek series.
Mm-hmm.
The sexy scenes.
Yeah.
And they do that to some degree in this as well, in the romantic scenes, but but they mostly do it to kind of give an impression of cynicism to Helen.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to struggle to break this film down slightly.
Yeah.
Only because I struggle to get the motivations of the characters.
Yeah, well, I was just about to ask if we wanted to jump into kind of dissecting these three characters as a whole, like, individually, and then see, like, as we go, like starting off with John, like, we've both kind of said that he's a nothing character. What, are you able to elaborate on that? Like, why you think that is? And why he just doesn't work? As essentially a romantic lead in this film.
Well, you've already mentioned that he seems to be the kind of guy that's like, I'd like it to look at a pretty face.
Yeah.
And so we've already mentioned that's shallow, but at no time do I get a sense of why it's so important. Like, why should he care about Agnes?
Mm-hmm.
Have they really had any kind of connection? I mean, he's stalking her, for fuck's sake. Then they haven't had a connection yet.
Yeah.
And that's through the whole film.
Yeah.
Until, I mean, even in halfway through the final act, he's still kind of just the stalker guy.
Do you think if it wasn't necessarily him trying to see her and everyone's like, no, she's not interested, fuck off guy, and then he becomes more aggressive and things, like, if it didn't have that aspect of him, the kind of pushback from Agnes initially, and it was just him pursuing her and her just being a little bit aloof, but not necessarily like, no. would that make it a little bit easier to get behind him as a protagonist?
Yeah, I mean, can you recall a sequence where Agnes starts to come around? It felt like to me it was a very much a kind of binary situation where it's like Agnes is going, get away from me, stalker freak. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh my God, I love you. Like, I'm not going to tell you who I really am, so let's get married.
I guess there's the scene where she finds the letter from him. And it's like that where he's just like, I legit love you and I will be here at this waterfall where we first met every night in the hope that you will eventually one day come. And she's like, oh, that's kind of weird, but sweet, I guess. And then combining that with her attempts to get a job and build a new life outside of being a cabaret dancer, yet having that be still an issue where she gets shamed, I guess.
Well, so she felt a sense that she was trapped. She must effectively go with him because now that she's out of the system that is the dancing and the prostitution, she gets recognized in the street when she goes to it for other jobs, so she's really either...
And kind of hounded by her former customer, like, you know, the people who would see her as a dancer and stuff.
So she's trapped, but to me, she gets that letter, and he's saying, I'm deeply in love with you. I'll be at this waterfall, you know, until you come. So she says, oh, he loves me.
And he's my meal ticket out of here.
And he's my meal ticket out of here. So I love him now. It's shit like that in the film where I'm just like, what the fuck kind of decision is that? How am I supposed to get behind any character that does that? And Agnes was doing that. John was doing that. Helen's doing her own thing, and she's like a
sociopath,
like a vapid asshole. But
yeah,
but at least you can have villains that are like that. You can have kind of
the villains are fine like that because they are the villains. Like it works for them. But for your two romantic leads, Agnes, I will argue, until kind of the third act, she's interesting because she's a free-spirited woman who takes action, which is greatly contrasted against her mother as a character who presents like her worldview and her outlook as this like, no, you don't plan things, you just shit unfolds and you take it as it comes and you just go with it. And the whole film, I just want to be like, that's how you went from being really rich to destitute and making your daughter be a prostitute. Like, you don't, like, you can't just, whatever happens, be like, all right, sweet, well, I guess we're doing this now. Like, you need to actually have some structure to life, which is kind of why her daughter is a pragmatist. And it's like, when they are then thrown into that situation of being poor, she's like, well, I've always wanted to be a ballet dancer. I will use my talent into this different way so we can then live and survive. Unlike mother, who's just like, I'm just going to sit here and wait for the next thing to happen.
Yeah.
Which is like, which is an interesting character, I guess. That's kind of, what do you call that philosophy where it's just like the waiting for, it's like, fucking, it just reminds me of Dirk Gently, Holistic Detective, where it's just like, shit just happens to him and he solves the cases, like, whatever that is. But yeah, like, Agnes is being presented as a pragmatist who is kind of a go-getter and trying to make conscious decisions to make her life better throughout the film, for better or worse, whether that be, you know, having to become a cabaret dancer / prostitute so that she and her mother can survive, or making the decision to go along with Helen's kind of taking over of their debt and all of that, and then trying to get a new job, and then eventually marrying John. She's at least making conscious decisions that seem to be of her own will and volition, as opposed to her mother, who's just accepting fate, and John, who is so easily manipulated by just like, I want that, but you can't have it. I really want it now.
Yeah, sure.
Like, he's... Yeah. So that's my in defense of Agnes, I guess. But she's still...
Oh, yeah, no. Like, I think the best parts of the film were when the film let her kind of do her dance thing on screen.
Yeah.
Those were the nice, fluffy, romantic things that I was appreciating. But there's two of them.
Yeah.
There's two of them, and it's like... I mean, it's a short film. An hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But there's, for like 3 or 4 minutes, there's the nice, free-spirited Agnes dancing.
Ooh.
And most of it is just kind of sinister plots.
Yeah.
Manipulations.
Well, do you think... I've had the one thought watching this where do you think the film could have possibly worked better if we didn't explicitly know that Helen was being a puppet master behind all of this and manipulating for her own purposes, and we just were being kind of presented this story, through Agnes as our protagonist at that point, where she's constantly saying like, there's something kind of a little bit off here, and then you have the reveal at the end that Helen's been kind of twistedly doing all of this. Do you reckon that could have maybe made it work a little bit better?
Well, when you say would it have worked better, do you mean that there would be a theme you could grapple with in a better way?
Yes.
Because I was not watching this film and grappling with anything in particular.
Well, yeah, which makes me... like, and I think the fault of that is, who's our protagonist?
Well, Agnes, I guess.
I guess, but it's...
like, you want to see her... she's like the underdog, right? So naturally you're gravitating towards the underdog to say, well, if there's going to be a story arc, We want to see her go from the shit to the top.
Yeah, which is why I'm saying, like, after the point of the breakup, getting the introduction of John and, like, you almost... Yeah, just follow the film from Agnes's point of view, I guess, and then have the reveal towards, like, you know, the M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end of, no, Helen was manipulating and doing all of this for her own bitter and twisted...
Shyamalan twist in this kind of film.
Seems, and John seems dies awesome. If you pour water on him, it's fine.
I mean, the themes that were present here were don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the way that this film presented that theme really did anything with it that's any kind of substantial.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because, at the very end, John changes his... I mean, they get married without... He has no knowledge of her being a dancer. The secret is leaked. And, you know, the final scene is him going, fuck it, I still love you.
Yeah.
But there's no explanation to why he has made that decision.
Yes. Which is a giant fault of the film, I think, where it needed to be the revelate... Like, he has a mini freak out at the wedding when Agnes gets, like, overcome with her shame and blah, 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 and it comes out.
She's dying from shame, like, literally.
Yeah. When all that happens, and he has his, like, what have you done to me? And Helen's just like, my plan worked! And they have their weird reveal scene in the car. You don't want John to react the way that he does in this film. You want it... Which is, like, kind of angry and bitter and twisted, and then, like, goes to confront Agnes, but then after seeing her, it's just like, God, I can't stay mad at you.
It's fine to have that if it's going to have a point to it, but what I'm saying is,
well,
he never once expresses any of his motivations behind his decisions, and when you're talking about the judging your book by its cover theme, if it's just, oh, the man changed his mind, but I don't know why, the very best I can do is maybe think what I would do in that situation. But of course, I wouldn't even give a fuck if she was dancing in the first place.
I'm thinking, like, a more satisfying ending would have been if it's like, it turns out she was a tramp, haha. And he was just like, I don't give a fuck, I love her.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, and that way, not only do you have, like, oh, cool, love won, and he is not a vapid... the horrible person that we thought he might be, and Helen, our villain, her plan didn't work. It backfired on. Like, you would have all of your resolution.
Nice. But you would need a setup for that. You would need an indication that through meeting Agnes, the free spirit, that some of that would rub off on him.
Yeah.
And you would have to have some kind of little setup where it alludes to the fact that he would not give a shit, actually. And so when it is revealed to him, he'd be of course I don't care.
You needed to have a courtship between the two of them.
Yeah.
There was no... Even if it was down to a montage of them falling in love or going on dates, like, there's none of that. It just goes to, we're getting married now, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering if that is a fault of it being from the original source material of the 1700s book. And that's just... They didn't kind of modernize even for the 40s of taking it that way, I guess. It's hard to tell.
It's impossible to tell.
Yeah.
But I still think that it's... I still think that there's not much of a film here.
Yeah.
Because even if I do pretend that I'm watching it for the very first time when it first came out, the themes are just kind of feel like they're incomplete discussions.
The film is just like this scene, and then this scene, and then there's no cohesive thematic storytelling to it. Where you gain anything at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I watch these films, I want to have, like, break a message down. And it really annoys me when you watch a film and you do your best to break something down. But you need that whatever massive piece of stone to chisel away at.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not a stone here.
Yeah.
Which might be my fault, our fault. Because we're just not aware of the stone that we want to chisel away at.
Yeah, but we just weren't able to grab, like, properly get a hold of that and whittle away. But
But if you can't, but if I can't pick up on a clear motivation for why people are making decisions in the film, then, you know, how am I supposed to be aware of the stone that I want to chisel away at and come up with a nice little message and think about, you know, interesting things, the human drama and whatnot, while watching a film, if there's nothing to think about? So I don't like this movie that much.
True that.
I joked while we were watching the film for no reason that we'd have a competition to see who could say true dat the most.
I'm winning so far.
You're winning.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right that this was just one of those unfortunate occasions where it's just like, oh, it's just a movie. Like, it's...
I like the thriller, the way that it's shot.
Yeah, it's not all bad. Like, if it was just shot flat and generic and shitty, it would be awful. But it does have some things going, and, like, there's positive aspects, like, that make Agnes at least an interesting character to some degree. Like, there's some stuff there for you to grab onto, but no, like you said, overarching theme or thematic drive or anything, or even necessarily growth of character for you to connect with and be able to be like, sweet! It was all for something.
It was also, I mean, there's also kind of alluding to a theme of being trapped in a system that, and it's, how are you going to get out of it? How's Agnes going to get out of, she's a product of her own past, and how's she going to break away from that? That's an interesting theme.
Yeah.
But then, again, it's like the answer to that is, we'll just get married and, I mean, like, the,
yeah,
you know, like, everything just was wrapped up in a bow because it needed to be wrapped up in a bow, it seems, you know, like,
and it's
you need her dying from shame on the deathbed, and you need like John to be like, don't worry, I love you anyway, and she's like, oh, I fucked up, but you know,
thanks buddy,
thanks, yeah, I love you too, so it's all going to be happy ending, no worries, when you know it's not.
No, and it's kind of a bummer because it's a short film, it's an hour 25 minutes. You could have easily injected another 20 minutes of actual interesting character growth and development between John and Agnes that would have made the ending kind of a little bit more impactful and understanding of where he's coming and going as a character, like you said, but we get nothing, so.
All right, so basically the takeaway is there are themes, but they're like underdeveloped. And Helen, the lady that portrayed Helen, she did a pretty good job, and so did Agnes. She just ignore the fact that everyone has somewhat shallow characterization.
Okay,
she's still the Helen character. She still did a wonderful job. Maybe it's just the features of her face, but she's her eyes her eyes were just like very sinister. So I did enjoy her performance quite a lot.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering, if we didn't have that moment where she telegraphs to the audience, this is the plan I'm going to set up. If we were just presented the events of the film, still with her having that sinister vibe, if it would kind of make it a little bit more like, oh, what the fuck's going on here? Like, would have kind of engaged you a little bit more. But because you knew going in, this is the X, Y, Z, this is what's happening, this is where we're going, this is everything, just like, you're essentially playing poker with your cards out.
Yeah.
As the audience, so you're just like, yeah, okay. And we don't get to kind of...
You need comedy. You need comedy in these films. That's why everyone likes Pretty Woman. Because that's how you get behind the character.
Mm.
You share a laugh, you're on their side.
Yeah.
So, I felt the struggle between, I knew Helen was going to be the villain, but at no point was I ever going, John, man, I hope you figured this out. Because he didn't make me smile once.
No, in fact, he made us cringe a whole bunch.
Yeah, he's just like a stalker, weird sex perverty guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not right. Like,
yeah,
it's just weird, you know, like, he's supposed to be likable, but I thought he was a smarmy fucking greasy asshole.
Yeah, That sums it up pretty well.
So, and at no point, I was just like, Agnes, just fucking run, man.
Yeah, it's like, if you're having a trouble getting a job in this town and, like, you're dealing with, you know, being shamed because you're a cabaret dancer, just move.
Tonight, to 2018.
No, like, even just, like, just shift to another town where you weren't a cabaret dancer, and they won't... You won't get jeers on the street from creepy guy. Like, it's fine.
Here's the app, though. I thought, I mean, is the debt covered now?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just go, thanks, man, bye?
Yeah, I know. Because I don't,
just
yeah.
go to another town, like you said.
Yeah, it's...
Be like, oh, I got no more debt. Fuck, I could travel and do whatever.
Is it the fact that they felt, like, obliged to kind of stay with Helen, I guess, and she did that for them? I don't know. It's...
I'm sure there'd be something like that.
Yeah. But it's... Yeah, you just wanted to be like, fucking, all right, I'm 85,000, move to a new place, and just like, cool, I got my job. Everything's fine.
No one's recognizing me.
Shit worked out.
Yeah.
That creepy stalker guy's gone. Ugh, he was weird.
Yeah.
Nah. It's... Yeah, it's fine, but it's not a type of film that... we would expect to see, I guess. Like, we, like you said, like, we always go into these trying to, like, you know, you go in with a high watermark expecting it to be something interesting and great and have some good themes for you to unpack, and this just really didn't have that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This would probably be the time in the show where I said, ask you if you want to hear a little bit of trivia about the film.
Is there no trivia?
There's absolutely no trivia. It didn't win any awards. It just kind of came out and was like, yeah, it's a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really about it. Like, the only kind of vague thing I could throw out is this is Robert Bresson's the final film where he used 100% professional actors, but that's more of a tease. Yeah, in later films he would use just regular people.
Oh, cool.
A mix of just regular people and actors, and he went on to make some really interesting films later in his career, so which we will eventually get to. But that's kind of more trivia for those films.
Maybe this film's in there. It's because, you know, if you can get the rights to an important filmmaker, then just get the films.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got, I think Bresson has 4 or 5 films in the collection. Like,
yeah.
Most famous being Balthazar, about a little kid befriending a donkey in World War I. Like,
ooh.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
Sounds hardcore.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's got some good stuff out there, but this was just, like... And this was early on. This is his second film in his career, so... Yeah. It is what it is.
Sure is.
But I guess, unless you've got anything else, that'll probably wrap us up for this episode, looking at Les Dames du Bois de Boulogne. If you have any comments or queries or think we missed anything, please send us an email at thecriterionquest@gmail.com. We love reading them. Or you can find me on Twitter @CriterionQuest. Find us on Facebook through The Criterion Quest. Otherwise, we'll be back in a fortnight's time with By Brackage, an anthology.
Oh, this is a really big one.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting episode. We're kind of having some chats about how we're going to format this and how we're actually going to go through and do it. It's kind of in that same boat as like Fishing with John or the Beastie Boys music video anthology. Like, it's just a collection, so
it's a collection of short films.
Yes.
Ranging from 8 seconds to what, like 30 minutes or something.
Oh no, there are some that go for over an hour and stuff. Okay. Like,
just films in general then.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were trying to figure out how we would present it, because I think it's, Chris, you said it's 8 hours of
something films like in that. Total? Yeah.
So I don't know if we would go through them all, though. I thought what might be fun is we'll get like a D20 dice.
Keeping with the quest aspect, Criterion Quest.
And we'll just kind of start rolling the dice at random and just watch whatever. We'll assign a number to each of the films and just roll the dice.
That being said, there are like, I think we do have to touch, like, you know, specifically watch like Dog Star Man and a few of the kind of more
okay
important ones, but then post that we can then, I think,
roll just a D20. A smattering.
Yeah, roll a D20, see what we get, and just kind of watch and discuss a bunch of whatever we find we roll on, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the only other thing I would say, I'll quickly give a plug to the other podcast, you haven't seen that, which the episode coming out next week will be featuring Tom, as he sits down with me and we show Eric for the first time Dumb and Dumber, so...
Yeah, it's a great film.
Tune in for that. But otherwise, we'll see you in a fortnight's time for Brackage Anthology. For this week's episode, I'm Chris.
I'm Tom. See you next time.